The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Social Democrats TD for Cork West, Holly Kearns, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
There's a lot of coverage in the newspapers about an ordeal that you suffered at the hands of someone who was stalking you. What can you tell us about how it began?
It began by I was receiving text messages on my work phone, and then it later transpired into them turning up at my home. And I think the reality is, Pat, all politicians get abuse, and that could be kind of online public commentary, private messaging, can be letters in the post, in the mail, that can go to your constituency office, to the Dáil, or to your home. It can be voice notes, it can be emails, it can be on the street, and it can be in person in your constituency office in your home, and to differing kind of varying degrees. We've all experienced it, I think, to a certain extent. Yeah. I know I'm not the only one, but the reality is, and what I really realized after the kind of commentary and the coverage of two TDs having a bag of feces thrown at them recently, was that actually TDs don't want to talk about it. And I was certainly one of those TDs. I would always refuse to have any kind of media interviews about any kind of abuse that TDs receive. And there's a couple of reasons for that, why we as TDs don't particularly want to talk about it. And one of them is we really don't want to deter more people from going into politics. And that particularly goes for women. We need more female participation. You don't want to deter people. There's a kind of perception that when you speak about it as well, you might draw more abuse on you.
Sure.
And that's just a reality. And there's as well, Pat, there's the knowledge that there's more important issues out there. So I'm talking about perhaps TDs not feeling safe in their home. Some people don't have homes to not feel safe in, and you don't want to be kind of working on issues and it seeming a bit rich. But I think that the reality is that our kind of collective silence about it means that really nothing's going to be done about it. And actually it is something that does need to be addressed, because if I was somebody looking at going into politics, I think what would be more of a deterrent is probably the fact that there's nothing being done about this situation in reality to really try and help it.
Now, there's always been political discourse, and sometimes, you know, robust and sometimes even vulgar abuse that is hurled at people in the political sphere, and indeed anywhere in public life. In your case, though, it becomes something different, doesn't it, when it's more than just hate what you said about the housing problem, hate what you said about health. What you endured was different.
Yeah, and I remember being warned, actually, prominent into politics about the abuse that you get. And I fully thought that people meant, you know, people disagreeing with your political beliefs and all that. And I thought, that's grand, I'm well able for that. And even when the abuse that I got was of a different nature to that from online platforms and even in the mail, I felt kind of relatively unfazed by it, if I'm honest. And maybe in hindsight, a little bit obnoxiously, I thought, oh, that's water off a duck's back to me, you know, didn't mind. But it wasn't until somebody turned up my house that, every kind of message that I got then, I then felt that actually that's a real person who could turn up at your home. So it did change things for me in terms of how I felt. And there's just a reality as well. The guards have advised me that I shouldn't have a constituency clinic in a traditional sense where I advertise my whereabouts, that I'll probably be on my own. And there's things like that that it does just start to really prohibit the way you do your work. And for a time, and it's some time ago that I experienced that with somebody turning up in my home. And for a time I did feel that I wanted to take a step back from doing media and different things, because I felt that would draw more of it on me. And I think if that's the case, we probably need to have a discussion about this and figure out what can be done.
Now, sometimes, you know, it is about your politics or any politician's politics. Sometimes it gets, you know, much more personal. It is a personal obsession, whether there's a political component or whether it's just a personal obsession. I mean, if you look at Leo Varadkar, clearly he gets a lot of abuse as Taoiseach, now Taoiseach. But in Northern Ireland, you know, there would be death threats plastered on walls, you know, come north and, you know, we'll see to you, that kind of thing. And, you know, there comes a point in any public figure's life when it just becomes more than idle kind of threats. It becomes practically threatening as well. And I presume that's how you felt.
100%. And I think because we don't talk about it a lot, we haven't even identified those different types of abuse that are levelled at public representatives. And I think there's a different type of abuse in terms of people who are feeling really disenfranchised and they feel they have nothing to lose, to the extent that they'd go after a politician kind of publicly throws something at them or whatever. And then there's the kind of stalking type of abuse that's leveled at politicians, and that tends to be more targeted at women. And because we, none of us as TDs ever want to talk about it publicly, we haven't even had the discussion about what the different types of abuse are. And I think when you look at that, you're talking about the difference of what it might be like in the North. And we look at what's happened in the UK, two MPs have been murdered. And you kind of have to ask the question, are we just waiting here for something really bad to happen before we act on this? And when you consider that a TD's car has already been set on fire, I don't quite know what we're waiting for to happen before we actually kind of really look at this and see what we can do.
Part of the problem for women particularly is that there can be, I use the word hesitatingly, romantic obsession, shall we say, with women, and how quickly that can turn into something poisonous and toxic, when inevitably, if someone has absolutely no interest in the person who is obsessed in this way, is perceived by that person to have rejected them.
Yeah, and I know what you mean about your hesitation around the word romance, because when that is coming at you, there's nothing at all romantic about it when there's a kind of an obsession and perhaps a mental health issue and all of those things. And that's something that, you know, Ireland is really kind of getting to grips with now in terms of stalking and dealing with that kind of abuse. And it's really not that long ago that it was just seen as a compliment, or, you know, to kind of, oh, would you lighten up, and these kind of things. So, you know, when you look at the kind of broader cultural context of that kind of abuse, we're still getting to grips with that. And I suppose when people are public figures, you're just more likely to be targeted because you're seen by more people, you know, be it through the media or whatever it is. And it's something that I think, you know, we saw pieces covering kind of general abuse of TDs over the weekend. And a lot of people spoke anonymously in relation to that. And it's quite a common one. There's so much really that needs to be done. And the first and most important part of that, I think, is that we have a discussion about it. But in terms of solutions, it's actually really hard to kind of come up with them, because in one way, one thing that, like, you know, on first thought might be helpful is if those kind of faceless anonymous accounts weren't actually allowed, if they had to be linked to an email or whatever. But then you consider the importance sometimes of that for whistleblowers.
Yeah, we're always told that, but there are mechanisms by which whistleblowers could perhaps still go about their whistleblowing, and the safeguards being present. You're right, it does need a closer look, that no one should be allowed to say things online, publish things online, which if they did in any regular medium, be it radio, television, or in print, would have them in before the courts.
Yeah, and so that's one thing that we need to look at in terms of addressing this. And I think another, like, even just kind of maybe more basic things, Pat, and it might sound a bit like too basic, but it would be helpful, is that when you first get elected, if you got some kind of a briefing and you were kind of maybe just, if it was explained to you what you might expect, then I think it becomes less of a fright. Like for me, I was, you know, I'm West Cork TD, and I didn't have a key for my door to lock it, if you know what I mean. We don't, like, I don't have a key to my house. We used to leave the keys in the car. I had no blinds. I had absolutely nothing. And I think there'd be no harm after an election, if even if it might just be the newly elected TDs are kind of told, no harm in looking at getting these things to make sure that you're safe, because you are kind of more in the public eye now. It hadn't even occurred to me to kind of look at those kind of safety measures. And I just think there's no harm in giving that kind of a briefing so people aren't so blindsided, potentially.
Because recently when Anne Rabbitt had, you know, and I have to say this, that I was misled by this report initially when I heard that excrement had been thrown at her. And I had a vision of Anne Rabbitt, you know, covered in cow dung. In fact, it was a plastic bag of dried cow feces that was thrown at her. So she was, you know, hit by a plastic bag rather than by liquid dung. But nonetheless, it's unacceptable. And it certainly was a deliberate and contrived insult to her and to Deputy Cannon. But the question of what is acceptable, you know, the classic political throwing of an egg at a political figure has been there from time immemorial. The people get arrested and probably charged with some sort of charge. The question is, are you ever briefed that this is the life of the politician? Are you ever told? I mean, the most recent thing was, wear a pair of flat shoes in case you have to flee. I mean, I laughed when I saw that.
Yeah, I think everyone did. I don't think that's going to help the situation if we all wear runners from now on. But I know. I don't, I think it's hard to say what's acceptable and what's not, but I think any kind of physical threat, any kind of throwing of things at people, and even if feces is in a Ziploc bag, they're still throwing feces. They didn't put something else in the bag. There's that kind of horrible nature of the feces, I think, is still probably quite relevant, or it would have felt relevant to Deputy Cannon and Minister Rabbitt, I would imagine. And I mean, the thing is, we have to look at how do people get to air their beliefs and challenge politicians on their stance on things, and is there, you know, enough platform to do that? And I think shows like your own, where people can ring in, all of those things are that kind of platform. And I think one of the things that I'm not sure about is, like you're saying, that the egg has been thrown since the beginning of time. Is this kind of discourse new, or is it the first time that I'm looking at it? Like, I don't remember hearing before about that kind of thing, like a bag of feces being thrown at a politician.
No,
And is
indeed
this the
not. And
case?
even the egg throwing is relatively rare. I mean, you've seen students throw eggs at visiting speakers on campuses and so on. And by and large, an egg is thrown because it smashes immediately. It's not like throwing a rock. So it's perceived to be not physically damaging, but kind of humiliating for the recipient of that kind of attack. And as I say, people have been charged. But I often believe that because we are so open with our politicians, I mean, anyone can go along to any politician's clinic any day of the weekend, usually on a Friday night or a all-day Saturday or a Sunday after Mass or whatever, and meet their politicians, that kind of protest tends to be more muted in this country than it might be in places where politicians are less accessible.
That's it. I think we need to examine or try to understand why that's changing in Ireland, because our politicians are still that accessible. That hasn't changed. And I suppose we need to ask questions. Is it that the kind of discourse and social media is seeping out into how we behave in real life? When we see people say things online, the keyboard warrior thing that they wouldn't say to somebody's face, that they're starting to actually see that as real life and how we behave in real life. Is that what's happening? Is it that people feel more angry than ever about politics because of housing, because of trolleys? You know, what is it that is changing, and how do we address it? And you know, what other things can we put in place to try and address the situation, to understand it, all of those things? I don't think any of those things will happen if we don't have the conversation about it. And the reality is that nobody wants to have a conversation about it, because if you were imagining, Pat, if you were going about an election campaign, you think, what image are we trying to put forward? It's not the victim, you know?
Sure.
And I think that's been really prohibitive in terms of people actually addressing this situation, because everyone just wants to move on to the next
Yeah, I mean, they don't
subject.
want to be labeled as a wimp either, you know, because of a couple of incidents. But at the same time, if you think of Jo Cox and how, you know, something utterly unexpected happened and she lost her life. So,
And David Innes.
yeah. And that kind of thing, that at a clinic and you get some lunatic comes into a clinic and does somebody harm, and possibly even people surrounding the deputy involved can come to harm. So we need to talk about it openly and honestly, and about the level of political discourse and the coarsening of that discourse. And that should include, you know, broadly also what politicians do themselves to coarsen discourse.
Yeah, and we need to do this to, I think, to kind of reassure people as well that this will be addressed. Don't be put off coming into politics if it's something that you are considering. It when you see these kind of headlines and all those things, it's not what all of the job is like. You know, we need more young people in politics, we need more diversity in politics in every way, actually. And I hope that seeing the kind of treatment of politicians doesn't deter people who think they might have a future in it, and it's really not, you know, the entirety of the job. In many ways, it's rewarding, and you know, we do desperately need more people in it. So I hope it's not a deterrent, and I hope that we can start to kind of try and address the issue rather than just ignore it, and potentially, you know, just kind of kick the can down the road and actually leave it to that next generation of politicians to address when it could just be
Yeah.
festering
But by the way,
and getting
did you
worse.
see a difference in the level of the kind of abuse you were getting online and so on? You were a councillor, first of all, and then you became a Dáil deputy. Did it increase with your profile?
100% it did. And I think that's I presume, Pat, and I don't know, I presume that's a numbers game. So this many people are aware of you when you're on the council, and then however many more are aware of you when you become public representative, and therefore your chances of whatever percentage of those people kind of leveling a view set you would increase. And so, yeah, it seemed to be just kind of a steady increase.
And I'm
And
wondering
that's
too,
why.
if you've spoken to any of your male colleagues, whether or not, you know, this is about more about women than about men, and there's an element of misogyny involved.
I think both men and women in politics get a lot of abuse. I don't know if there's more or less for either gender. There would have to be some sort of research done. I think there's quite a lot leveled at both. I think, though, there's a different type of abuse. So the kind of stalking and stuff, I don't think we see that as much with men, but perhaps, and I don't know, you have to speak to the male TDs, but maybe more threats of physical violence. I'm not entirely sure, but it is most definitely a problem for both. It's certainly not just a female problem, but we probably need to examine the different natures of the type of abuse and where each are coming from, if that makes sense.
I'll read out some of the texts coming in, Holly. I know politicians are paid well and get a lot of well-deserved flak, but this kind of abuse is not acceptable for anyone, and your guest almost sounds as if those who suffer, as she and others have, can feel they have to minimise it, which is not on. We must actually do more to stop it entirely. I don't think the stalking and abuse that Holly Kearns has received is about her being a politician, or at least not that alone. It's the level of abuse that has become the norm online and in person for people in the public eye, and sometimes not even. The keyboard warriors have turned very nasty to everyone in recent years, and nothing is being done to stop or educate people around the consequences of that. What if some parties aren't doing enough to curb online or personal abuse from their members and their supporters? Condemning this behaviour in public in the Dáil or on mainstream media is one thing, but managing your members or supporters behind the scenes is another, and this must be done. Another one, completely agree with Holly, safety is paramount in every job. Does Holly think this kind of behaviour is happening at a wider level than just politics? We need to do more at school level to teach young people about their behaviour online. So it is about politicians, particularly because they, you know, can be regarded as fair game because of the role they have in life. But it is a broader issue anyway, Holly, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And you might be able to analyse, Pat, in terms of the media. I think journalists oftentimes get a lot of abuse because they're in the public eye and they're relaying information.
Yeah, there's no doubt that a huge amount of abuse is heaped on people. If you can avoid it, well, I do. I don't read the stuff, but you know, sometimes in the nature of the political game, they have to keep in touch with their Twitter followers and so on. And some of them, of course, by definition, will be nasty. Teachers, doctors, Gardaí, nurses are regularly assaulted while performing their work. Their work. Not acceptable, but not confined to politicians who are on large salaries. Allegedly, Garda numbers are low because they can't pass the fitness test, not because of poor pay and conditions. Well, we will actually be talking about Garda morale later on in the programme, in fact, fairly shortly. Sadly, this type of bullying and harassment is keeping good people away from politics. We have a democracy where you can meet a TD in the street, and some agitators want to ruin that contact. Holly, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning. I greatly
Thanks,
appreciate
Pat.
It. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.